This is entitled The Parable of the Great Banquet. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent a servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
For the last several months, we've been looking at what the Bible teaches about the kingdom of God. We've looked at the Bible's teaching that the kingdom of God is God's kingdom because He alone possesses the authority to rule it. We looked at God's kingdom as we experience it today, this idea that God's kingdom is an already reality and a not yet reality. You might remember the picture that we used to try to talk about that of a pregnant woman who is, by virtue of the fact that she is growing that child inside of her, already a mother, but not yet a mother in all of the glory and all of the wonder of holding the child that is born to her. We looked at the allegiance that the kingdom of God demands. As followers of Christ, our citizenship in this world has been transferred out of citizenship within the world into citizenship in God's kingdom. And that one of the main areas, one of the main responses to this new citizenship, this new allegiance, is to die to ourselves. We then turned our attention to the mission of the kingdom of God and its centrality in the preaching of Jesus and in the preaching of the gospel. And then finally, last week, we looked at the effects that citizens of God's kingdom are to have on the world that we live in. Followers of Christ are to be salt and they are to be light, agents of preservation in a decaying world, and beacons of light which reveal and which illuminate the reality and the truth of the gospel to the others that are around us. This morning, we'll end this series on the kingdom of God by looking at the most critical aspect of all, entry into the kingdom of God. 2 questions arise that must be answered. How does a person enter the kingdom of God? And the second question, who's invited? So if you will, if you haven't done so already, please turn with me to Luke chapter 14. And let's pray for just a moment. Father, we ask your blessing upon this time. We ask your blessing upon our time in your word. We ask, Father, that you would reveal it to us, that you would illuminate our minds, that you would help us to understand it, and that you would help us to respond to it. Father, again, I pray that you would help us to meet Christ, to meet the living God in this word, and to commit our lives to him. May this be a crisis moment today for some who are with us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke 14, Jesus is having dinner with Pharisees. However, this isn't necessarily a dinner among friends. In verse 1, Luke says that Jesus is being watched carefully. And there's an air of suspicion that is surrounding this dinner. There's a suspicion of who this Jesus is and what it is that he's teaching. The Pharisees are trying to entrap Jesus. to catch him in his words and catch him in his actions so that they have some kind of charge to bring against him for his arrest. The meal occurs on a Sabbath, and as luck would have it, at the meal is a man with dropsy or edema, some kind of a fluid buildup underneath his skin. The man is a plant. He is there to trap Jesus into violating the Pharisees' traditions concerning work on the Sabbath. But Jesus, having healed the man, and wise to the Pharisees' hypocrisy, asks in verse 5, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say. The meal continues, and Jesus notices the jockeying that's going on among the Pharisees as to where they sit, trying to position themselves to be the most prominent guest at the meal. And Jesus points out the necessity to humble yourself if you are to be truly exalted. After this, in verse 15, one of the guests reflects on the meal that they're having and reflects on the greatest banquet of all, the banquet held with God in his future glorious kingdom. And this Pharisee says, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And this prompts Jesus to tell a parable. Now, a parable is an earthly story with a spiritual or a heavenly meaning. And this parable focuses around entry into the kingdom of God, into that great banquet that's being reflected on, into salvation itself. And this parable answers for us the two questions asked just a moment ago. How does a person enter the kingdom of God? And who's invited to come in? Look at verse 16. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent out his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first says, 'I've just bought a field and I must go ahead and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and well, I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.'" And here we see the answer to the first question. How does a person enter into the kingdom of God? It's pretty straightforward. You have to respond to the invitation that's been given. Because the invitation is made, and because you may have received the invitation, that doesn't mean that you have the benefits of the invitation. God's invitation to come into his kingdom can be responded to and must be responded to. And it can be responded in two ways, really: positively or negatively. And yes, a non-response, ignoring the invitation, is a negative response. You see, there's no middle road in the invitation that Jesus is giving. Excuses like the ones given in Jesus' parable are simply that. They are excuses. And no matter how pertinent or suitable to your situation or important to your life at that moment, excuses will be received by the inviter as, "No, I do not want to come." And my friends, the time to respond to the invitation is now. Verse 17 says, "Come, for everything is now ready." And notice this, that the banquet is prepared and it's ready. The invitees need to do nothing for this banquet. All they need to do is respond to the invitation. There's no work for them to do because the work has already been done on their behalf. And again, my friends, I would say to you, don't put your response to Jesus' invitation into the kingdom of God off for another day. Don't put it off for another moment. Because the invitation into the kingdom of God is today. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3:15, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. God says in the Old Testament, I take no pleasure in the death of anyone. Repent and live. If you are here this morning and you have not responded positively to Jesus' invitation to come into his kingdom, it makes my heart glad. It truly does. To think that I have such good news to say to you today. And yet it saddens me. It saddens me to think that there might be some here even this morning that would turn away from Christ's invitation, that would not think that what I have to say about this invitation is at all good news, but would turn and would ignore it, would give excuse to it, would give Jesus' invitation into his kingdom no regard at all. So permit me for just a moment to tell you what the King has done for you. He knew your guilt. He saw that you would ruin yourself. God knew that his justice would demand your blood. And in order that this judgment might be escaped, that his justice and wrath might have its full due, and that you might yet be saved from your sin, Jesus Christ died for sin. We heard this verse earlier this morning, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners. Screwed up, alienated, away from God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, the brutality of the cross speaks not to what a man can do to another man, but what our sin does to God. The cruelty of the cross is not a picture of a savage God, but of man's chosen wickedness in sin. And there on that cross, as the Lord Jesus Christ cries out, "It is finished," the sin of the world put upon his shoulders, he taking on all of the wrath of God. Isaiah saying he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. What we see there is that the just wrath of God is totally satisfied. And the response to the invitation to come into the kingdom is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's what the Bible tells us. It says to trust in Jesus by faith, to renounce your works of self-righteousness, to renounce your self-justification, to set your heart and your mind and soul and your strength alone on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and thinking, you know, Pastor Malcolm, that sounds wonderful. I want to respond to that kind of an invitation. I want to be in that kind of a kingdom. But there's no way that invitation is being made to me. My sin is too great. It is too ugly. It is too dark. It's too embarrassing. It's too shameful. There's no way for God to make this invitation to me. So who is he making the invitation to? Jesus makes it clear that there are none who will be turned away from God's kingdom. None who will be refused, who respond by faith to the invitation to come. None who will be excluded except those who exclude themselves, who choose to respond with no response, who choose to respond with excuse, who choose to harden and turn their hearts from God. They will choose to keep themselves out of the kingdom. Any can come if they will simply respond in faith to the invitation Jesus makes. Look at verse 21. The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told the servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." What Jesus means there at the end is that those who will not taste the banquet, who will not come into the kingdom, are those who make excuse not to be there, not to respond. It's not because they haven't been invited. It's not because the offer is not available. It's because they choose not to receive. But I want you to look at those who are invited in. They are the poor. They are the crippled. They are the blind. They are the lame. Folks, these are not people who have it all together. These are not people who are the so-called beautiful people or the popular. These are not people who have no problems, who have it easy, and know nothing of hardship, know nothing of darkness in their lives. These are people who know pain. They know embarrassment. They know rejection. They know shame. They know their weaknesses. They know their failings. And they know their need. The servant is sent to them, to the poor in need of help because they can't do it on their own, to the crippled who are damaged by the brutality of sin, the blind who are lost and wayward and surrounded in darkness, and the lame limping through life, beat upon by their own sin and the sin of others. My friends, this is you and me. We are the ones who are invited. This world is what? Is who is invited. And what this means is that no matter what you've done, no matter how bad your sin is, how dark a stain it leaves, no matter what the offense might be, God says again, "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." What we see here is that God knows your guilt. He already knows the depth of your sin, and He has provided the payment. He has made the way. Will you not come to Jesus today? Will you not respond in faith to the invitation that is being made to you to come in to God's kingdom, to the riches of salvation and all of the glories that we have been studying about these many months? To know Christ, to be forgiven, to be reconciled to God. God's grace is available today. The invitation is available today. God says to the servant, "Go out to the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full." Again, God's gracious invitation is for today, but the parable here is saying to us, there will come a day when the invitation will no longer be extended, when time will run out. And if you have excuses, if you have put off the decision, if you have ignored it, there will not be another opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Come and respond in faith today to the good news of Jesus Christ. He is inviting you into his kingdom. He is inviting you to respond. He has done all the work for you. Believe, trust. If you are here today and you have not done that, I want to strongly encourage you, after the service, please come and speak to somebody that is here on our prayer team. Tell them that you have made that decision today. If you're assisting with communion, would you please come forward? Come stand up here at the table. My brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you who have responded positively to this invitation to come into the kingdom of God, to know Christ, to be reconciled to God, to have your sins forgiven, there's only one thing that I say to you today, and that is go. You've already come, go and tell this world that God has an invitation for them to experience his kingdom, to know Christ. Go and urge, compel, make them come in. Exhaust yourself in preaching the gospel to others and telling others of the great gift of the gospel that has been made available to them at no price for themselves, but all of the price of God. The time is short. This parable gives us great urgency to go today, to go now, to speak in this moment, and to compel them to come in, to make them come in. As the people of God, we come to the communion table this morning to celebrate, to remember, to be nourished again by what God has done for us in Christ. And if you are a believer, if you are a disciple of Christ, if you're a Christian, you have responded positively to Jesus' invitation to come, you are welcome at this table. And we invite you to share again in the meal that the Lord has left for us. My friends, if you don't know Christ today, there is no magic in the bread. There is no magic in the cup. The grace of God is available to you to simply receive Christ. And I hope that you will trust him today, that you will set aside all of your excuses, that you will set aside all of the things that you think keep you away, and you will simply receive what he has already done for you in his invitation to come into his kingdom.